Good evening, and welcome to Good Evening, the Alfred Hitchcock Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Shea Mutella, and joining me, as always, is my ever-constant co-host, Chris Haig. Chris, how you doing there?
I am pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's okay. You know, get up off your knees there. Stop praying, okay? We don't pray for good podcasts here. That's not how it works.
Again, I didn't know where that sentence was going to go then. When you were like, get up off your knees, and I'm like, what the heck? Where is this going?
Well, Tom is away again. Tom is not here. And he said something about gambling. He had to go and do the horse races. I'm not sure what's going on there. You know, but he had his rosary, and he was on his way to the horse races here. So I'm not sure. Hopefully he gets some money, you know, pay for the podcast over the next, you know, couple years of hosting and whatnot. So
the podcast needs a new roof. So the
podcast needs a new roof. Yes, it's a very leaky podcast. Very worn down podcast. The Horse Player, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, was originally broadcast on the 14th of March, 1961, as part of the sixth season of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. The Reverend Amian is the pastor of a small church. He gets a sizable contribution from a horse race gambler named Sheridan. Sheridan has apparently prayed to win and has been successful. He gives the priest a tip on a horse. The priest gives him $500 of the church's savings, which actually I think it's his own savings, not the church's savings, to bet on the horse. Amian's conscience gets to him, however, and he prays for the horse to lose. It does. Sheridan arrives and tells the priest that he bet his money on the horse to win, and it almost did, but suddenly quit. The gambler also says he didn't want to risk the church's money on a win, and instead bet on the horse to show. Since it did, the church won $2,100. Now, I did some quick conversions on the amount of money that this was in today's dollars. $500 in today's dollars from 1961 is about $4,625, and a $2,100 win is about $18,356 adjusted for it. So that's an American dollar on that. So that's a significant win. $18,000, that could probably cover the roof, eh?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Excellent. Right on. So, what did you think of this episode, Chris? Was this the first time you saw it?
It was the first time I saw it. I really enjoyed this. It reminded me a lot of, like, the 40s, 50s Ealing comedies in the UK. So, like, The Lady Killers and all that sort of thing, which is this sort of very dry, not exactly dark, but there is a sort of a commentary to it about the comedy and, you know, the idea of this priest who's so desperate to kind of get the church hall fixed that he starts gambling on horses. It's quite funny. It's quite a cool premise. Mm-hmm. And I think I just really enjoyed Claude Rains's performance in this. And I just, I just had a very good time with this episode. I was really, not exactly enchanted by it, but I just thought it was very dry and funny in a lot of ways that sometimes some of these episodes aren't. And yeah, it was a nice little palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it too. I thought it was good. Claude Rains, you know, I know him from, you know, The Wolfman and whatnot, right? So I think he was in The Wolfman, it was one of the Universal Picture films.
Was he not in a Hitchcock?
Oh, he probably was in Hitchcock, I'm sure. All these people were, so I just can't think of it off the top of my
head. He probably was. I was just trying to think. I was like, oh, Notorious.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
he was right, he was in that.
Yeah, he's the husband, yeah.
I thought this episode was pretty cute. You know, like, it was a cute little story, which is very different from most of the Hitchcock Presents episodes. Like, it's not like a bad ending. Like, there's no comeuppance for anybody. You know, even then, still the church comes out ahead. Right? The church ends up with his money. So, like, what's he going to do? Is he going to just use it for the roof anyways? Like, I think he might as well. I mean, you know, so it's an interesting thing, too, where it's like, basically what they're saying is that the prayer worked, right? Yeah. The power of prayer worked in this, which is kind of an interesting thing. Like, I don't think you'd get this kind of story today. But, you know, for 1960 or whatever this was, I think that's kind of the story that they told, you know, like that power of prayer works and whatnot. So I thought that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I did enjoy the sort of the comedy bit. And so, you know, it ends once, you know, these revelations have been made at the very end. He sort of takes the money and he gives this as the score lifts. and he gives this sort of wry little look up to the heavens. And I just thought it was such a funny little beat, because he's just like, oh, wow, just... Because obviously, as a priest, he should be believing in God and that sort of thing. And I wonder if it was just a moment of like, oh, you are real.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, yeah, it's a funny sort of Shakespearean comedy way of like, all's well that ends well. Because at the end of the day, the gambler resolves that, oh, he's going to go back into sort of steady work. And sort of, it's implied that's a bit of a happy ending for him, rather than being a gambler and risking his livelihood and that sort of thing. So it's almost like a... You don't get what you want, you get what you need sort of ending mm-hmm. for him. The church doesn't actually lose any money, and it'll fix the hole in the roof, and that's all good. And he, you know, Claude Rains gets to kind of go, well, my moral integrity is secured, but I also, you know, have this little validation that prayer works. So mm-hmm. it's sort of, it's very similar to some we covered before. It's almost like a little fable or a little parable. It just goes, well, be careful what you wish for, because prayer can be a very powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it also talks a little bit, I suppose, about the Catholic idea of like, oh, well, doing this, though, will corrupt your soul a bit, because you shouldn't be asking for money and shouldn't be praying for material things. It's a bit like, you know, they say, oh, well, you shouldn't pray to God for a new bike, or you shouldn't pray for a laptop, or that sort of thing. It's like, well, no, that's not what prayer's for.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. It's a fun, it's a light episode. It ends with a happy ending, which is a bit of a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, it's, like, I think you said it, it's cute.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. And there's nothing wrong with cute.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, so I'm a Christian, and I think as a Christian, I find this episode cute and humorous, because, like, you know, you see new Christians, people becoming new Christians, that are like, oh, I'm going to pray for all this stuff and whatnot, and when things go positively, they're like, oh, it's the power of God working on me and whatnot. And then there's this joke that's in there, too, where it's like, you know, you can't pray to God to get yourself, like you mentioned, you can't pray to God to get yourself a new bike, because God doesn't work that way. So instead, yeah. I'm going to steal a bike and pray for forgiveness, right? So, because that's how it works, right? So, yeah. You know, it's like kind of a joke that you have, but it's cute. It's funny. I like it. And I mean, look, there's not a lot to say in this episode, right? Like, the guy gambles. He has a couple conversations about what prayer actually is for. And the priest, and he keeps thinking that the priest is mad at him. He's like, no, I'm not mad at you, but no, you don't pray for gambling. You pray for your soul. And I'm praying for you. Oh, you're praying for me to win? No, I'm praying for you and your soul and whatnot, right? I'm praying for you to get to heaven and whatnot. And that's what prayer is for. And it's just, you know, this interesting little discussion on what the power of prayer can be used for and what it should be used for. So, but I mean, this is not really, it's not an in-depth story. At the end, the church, I'm guessing, gets fixed. They don't really say, you know, he gives that look up to God where he's like, oh, you, right, when he gets the money or whatever, and you know, he has the conversation with the other priest or whatever, like the priest superior or whatever you want to call him. I don't know my terms, you know, but it's like even priests can suffer from weakness, right? He's like, he sees this guy winning all the time, and he's like, well, I just want to use this money for good. I just want to fix the church roof. Like, it's not for selfish means. He doesn't want the money for himself. But even there, like, the, you know, gambling is not something you should do as Christians. And I mean, like, while I don't think it says anything in the Bible that you shouldn't gamble, like, those kinds of things, the reason why alcohol and gambling are frowned upon in the church is because while, you know, you do those acts once, there's nothing really wrong with them, but they can turn into so much worse, right? Gambling can become an addiction that will ruin your life, and drinking can become an addiction that will ruin your life, right? And so that's why those things are frowned upon within the church.
Yeah, I mean, I come from a Christian background. I wouldn't say I'm practicing, but I do have some background in that, so I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting that this episode does a job of, it does a very good balancing act of making this still a light and funny episode, but it is talking about the idea of, like, does the end justify the means? Can you gamble, which is a bad act, if it's going to be for something good?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately it's saying no, because it's not. You know, the act itself, no matter what the means are, if it is a bad act, it's still bad, and that's what the thing's overriding. So it's interesting, and it is funny. You know, it's a 20-25 minute episode, which has the weirdest, not the ending, but like the little stinger afterwards. I'm like, okay, like a pantomime horse. I'm like, right, that was worth sticking around the extra 60 seconds.
Oh yeah,
for.
That thing too. Yeah,
because some of them are great. Yeah, he doesn't even appear, though. That's the thing. He's like, oh, after this commercial. And then it's just a pantomime horse, and it splits up. And that's it. that is the end of it. And I'm like, okay, right, fair, okay. Showing me literally a horse's ass. Well done, okay. But no, I think, you know, you could get into kind of like, oh, a theological discussion about like, oh, this is for, you know, debating does the end justify the means, or, you know, good and evil, that sort of thing. But it does it all in a 25-minute episode that is very light and funny, and does end on this little literal father knows best moment, which is like, oh, you. Look what you've done. Moment. And so I have a bit of a soft spot for it. It's not my favourite episode we've covered, but it's certainly not one of the worst, and right. I was entertained throughout, yeah. Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I'd give it a 3 out of 5. Yeah, 3 out of 5.
I'll give it a 4, because mm-hmm. I thought I did quite enjoy the way things tied up at the end, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, right on. Okay, well, we are rapidly approaching the end of our Hitchcock discussion here. We've only got two left. We got one Alfred Hitchcock Presents episode and one Alfred Hitchcock Hour. But next week we have the amazing Bang, You're Dead. I'm looking forward to that one. Have you seen that one yet?
No, I haven't.
One? Oh, it's good, man. It's good. I've seen this one. Annie and Catherine covered it on their show. And it's got Bill Mumy in it. Little Bill Mumy. You know him from Lost in Space?
Oh, I've never seen it.
No, the original TV show. Yeah, Little Bill Mumy's in it. So you know the Twilight Zone episode where he wishes the end of the cornfield?
I've seen a little Twilight Zone, Wish into the Cornfield.
He's the kid that everybody's scared of because he's like...
Oh, yes! Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Bill Mumy. So, yeah, it's Bill Mumy. He's
the oh, he's one, the so. One who is like, I can just make you go away and yeah. the big toy and everything. Ah!
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm more excited. Okay.
Yes. But, yeah, it's a good one here. So, yeah. Until next time when we cover Bang, You're Dead, good evening.
Good evening. We'll be right back.